Hi, everybody. Welcome to Tennis Heads. I am your host, Kirby Martin. Today, we are going to be running down last week's action on the women's side. There were three tournaments, one in Auckland, New Zealand, one in Shenzhen, China, and one in Brisbane, Australia. And they all had different points and money commitments. And I just want to talk about that a little bit. I've always been kind of confused about how big each women's tournament is, how many points it counts for, what the money is like. They've got the WTA, for some strange reason, has some very strange descriptions or names of each level of tournament. So on the men's side, it's real cut and dry. It's super easy. You've got 250 tournaments. You've got 500, you've got 1,000s, and you've got the majors. That's it. It's super easy. And those numbers, each of those numbers corresponds to how many points the winner of that tournament gets. So if you win a 500-level tournament, you get 500 points. It's so easy. It's so easy to keep track of. If you just see in your WTA ATP app that number next to it, you know, okay, this is just a 250, no big deal, or wow, this is a 1,000, which is a ton of points and a ton of money. So I went to the trouble of looking up the different tiers. And starting from the lower levels, they've got some 280s. And two of these tournaments that happened this past week were the 280 variety. They're called international events. Probably not as effective or as clear as 280. But that would be Auckland and Shenzhen. They were both 280s. And then the next level up is the premier, what they call the premier, which is worth 470 points to the winner. Brisbane was that variety of tournament. Then, and you've got 12 of those. So they're like Birmingham, Brisbane, Charleston, Doha, Eastbourne, Moscow, New Haven, St. Petersburg, Stanford, Stuttgart, Sydney, Tokyo. No huge names there in terms of like super prestigious tournaments. So above the 470 tournaments, there are 900s and 1,000s. There are five 900 tournaments and four 1,000 level tournaments. The five 900 tournaments are Cincinnati, Dubai, Rome, Toronto, and Wuhan. The four 1,000 tournaments are Beijing, Indian Wells, Madrid, and Miami. So those are all super huge points, super big money. Then you've got the WTA finals in Singapore. The winner gets 1,500 points, and then all of the Grand Slams get 2,000 points. So that's kind of the lay of the land in terms of like how much each tournament counts for. And interestingly, though Auckland and Shenzhen had the same number of points distributed to the winner and each quarterfinalist, semifinalist, whatnot, the prize money was really different. In fact, it was four times as much in Shenzhen than it was in Auckland. Watching some of these matches on TV, I was thinking how wonderful it would be to go to Auckland. It just looks, their main stadium is super nice. It's kind of eclectic. There's a swimming pool on the roof next, like right next to the stadium, like connected to as part of the stadium. There's a rooftop swimming pool. It's a pretty cool place, but four times the amount of money would probably make me want to go to Shenzhen. So the first tournament I want to talk about is Auckland. It was a super, super interesting tournament. So the seeds were Wozniacki, Gerges, Shea, and Petra Martic. First round, Wozniacki beats Laura Sigmund, and she faces off against a qualifier, Bianca Andreescu from Canada. So coming into the tournament, Andreescu was ranked 152 in the world. Wozniacki is number 3. Andreescu beat her in the second round. This was probably the biggest upset of the past week on the women's side. Andreescu just came out of nowhere. I mean, any qualifier that gets into the main draw, that immediately is, it raises eyebrows. It's like, okay, wow, you won two or three matches to get here. Very impressive. Then to win a first round match against Tamea Babos from Hungary, who's ranked 59th in the world, at least coming into this tournament, she was ranked 59th. That is a big upset. 152 beating 59. Then she hands it to Wozniacki in straight, 6-4, 6-4. So the next opponent she faces is Venus Williams. Currently 39th in the world, but you know, Venus isn't playing much these days. Probably going to be Venus's last year on tour. All signs are pointing to that. So keep an eye out for that. Soak in some good Venus vibes here in the next year. So, though Venus is ranked 39th in the world, her effective ranking is probably something like 20. She's probably like the 20th best player in the world right now, maybe higher. She's been much higher very recently. So she's whatever, 20th in the world. Andreescu at 152 beats her. Venus took down the first set in a tie break, 7-1. And then Andreescu waxed her, 6-1, 6-3. That's another giant upset. If you had just had that one and not Wozniacki, everyone would be talking about how this no-name 18-year-old from Canada beat Venus Williams. She then moves on to the semifinals and beats Shea from Taiwan, who's ranked 28th in the world. So the qualifier makes it to the final. In the top half of the draw, that was easily the most interesting thing that happened. A small upset, a player I'd never heard of before, Sara Sorribes Tormo from Spain, ranked 86, beat Kirsten Flipkens from Belgium, who's ranked 47th. So that was the top half of the draw. Nothing really else of note there. Although, well, I guess it's worth noting that Monica Puig faced off against Bethany Mattek-Sands in the first round. Puig won 6-3, 6-2. So Bethany came in as a wild card. Obviously, she's healthy again, which is awesome to see. Super excited to see her play this year. And it'll be interesting to see what she does in doubles as well. Sui Shea from Taipei had a great tournament. So again, she gets to the semis, taking down Polona Herzog from Slovakia, then Monica Puig, then the newbie Sara Sorribes Tormo from Spain. Bottom half of the draw saw a wild card that you probably have heard of, a very young American named Amanda Anisimova. She is ranked 96th in the world. She beat a qualifier in the first round. Then she beat the five seed Barbora Strýcová from Czech Republic in the second round. Barbara is ranked 33, so 96 beating 33, big upset. The other section of this draw, the high seed was Petra Martic, ranked 32 in the world, who fell to the USA's Sofia Kenin, who is ranked 52 in the world. She's sneaking up the rankings, who faced off against Victoria Kuzmova from Slovakia. Kuzmova is ranked 50 in the world. She took that match down, faced off against Anisimova in the third round. Kuzmova won and made it into the semifinals. So big result for world number 50 in this. And Kuzmova is another young player. She's got a lot of game. She's really, really fit. She hits the ball hard from both wings. Got to see a little bit of her, a couple of her matches, and she looks like she could make some waves. Then the other, the bottom half had Julia Gerges winning against Joanna Larsson in the first round. Gerges is 14th in the world, so she beat World number 75, then Mona Bartel from Germany in the second round, world number 77. Then she faces against Eugenie Bouchard, who won two matches in this tournament against Madison Brengel and Bibiane Scoofs from Netherlands. So she had a pretty good tournament, considering that she hasn't been playing a lot. Gurgis beats Bouchard and then faces off against Kuzmova. Gurgis wins that. Gurgis plays Andreescu in the final. Andreescu, the 18-year-old, wins the first set 6-2. And then she just couldn't do it. It was just too much pressure. It was pretty obvious that she was just like way in over her head mentally. It obviously she hadn't been earlier in the tournament, but I think it was just this like freshman happy-go-lucky, like, isn't this wonderful, until she realized that she was a set away from taking down a WTA tournament as world 152. And Gurgis, to her great credit, was just more consistent. There wasn't too much to separate them in terms of skill set or power, but the consistency, that was the thing that got Julia over the finish line. Her second Auckland title in a row for Gurgis. Also, interestingly, Gurgis stays at world 14. So obviously she had some points to defend from last year, winning the same tournament, but good on her for defending. For her efforts, Gurgis wins $43,000. Again, the aforementioned 280 points. And Andreescu gets 21-4. In terms of prize money, in 180 points, which vaults her up to world 107. So she jumps from 152 to 107 in one tournament. Not bad for an 18-year-old. All right, so on the Shenzhen, this is again another 280-point tournament, but the winner, instead of getting $43,000, got $163,000. Same points, money very different. The seeds in this were world 13, Arina Sabalenka, world 19, Caroline Garcia, world 20, Qiang Wang, sure I'm butchering her first name there, and then world 22, Yelena Ostapenko. Also, Maria Sharapova was the 5 seed in this tournament. So Monica Niculescu from Romania qualified at World 99. She qualified into the main draw and then beat Yelena Ostapenko in the first round. That's a massive upset. Ostapenko, again, is ranked 22 in the world. She has a major title under her belt. She's fire. When Ostapenko is on, she is absolute fire. And Niculescu not only beat her 6-0, 6-2. She then beats Kristina Pliskova, Karolina's sister, in the second round. So she has a massive result for a qualifier, World 99. And she jumps 11 points in the rankings for her efforts there. Maria Sharapova, big upset here, beats Tamea Bichinski. I know that it's kind of weird to say it's an upset, but Bichinski has been playing very, very well as of late, and Sharapova really hasn't had anything to hang her hat on recently. But Sharapova comes through that. Her next opponent, Xinyu Wang from China. I apologize for mispronunciations here. And it looks like Wang had to retire, but Maria was going to win the second set. They were going to go on to a third set. I don't know what the retirement was all about. And then she comes up against Arina Sabalenka. If you guys haven't seen Sabalenka play, you will soon, because she had an incredible year last year. She vaulted up the rankings. She entered this tournament ranked world 13th. And she was destroying. And she's the real deal. She's a bigger body. That is to say, she's tall and she's got like a lot of muscle mass. She looks reasonably fit. She just hammers the ball. She's got a really good serve, and her forehand is pretty devastating, and her backhand is too. She's got excellent movement. I mean, she's got all the skills, all the tools that you need to run deep in tournaments. So that's the top half. Sabalenka ends up getting to the final. She beats Wang in the semi, 6-2, 6-1. And then if we look at the bottom half of the draw, Allison Risk, the 62nd ranked American, takes down Qiang Wang, who's ranked number 20 in the world. So that was a pretty big upset. Allison Risk getting it done there. And she beats Rodina from Russia, who's ranked 71 in the world. And then she takes on Sonia Cristea, another Romanian, Sorana Cristea from Romania, who's ranked world 84. She beats her, Risk does, and gets to the semifinal, which I'll get to in a second. So Risk is the big dark horse in that quarter. She's ranked 62nd. She comes out of that quarter. And the other big seeds in the last quarter are Caroline Garcia and Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. Caroline Garcia loses to a qualifier in the first round, Ivana Jarovic from Serbia. Didn't know that Serbians could play tennis. And then another qualifier, another name I'd never heard of before, it's Veronika Kudermetova from Russia, world 133, beats Begu from Romania in the first round, beats Pavlyuchenkova 6-2-1-6-6-2 in the second round, and then faces off against Vera Zvonareva. Zvonareva, it was a wild card, and she's ranked 109 in the world. So it was 109 against 133 in the third round. Zvonareva wins. She faces Risk. Risk wins. So it's Risk and Sabalenka in the final. Risk wins the first set 4-6. And then Sabalenka took it down. But this is a really, really good match. It was 4-6, 7-6, 7-2 in the tiebreaker there in the second set. And then Sabalenka wins the decider 6-3. It was a really, really interesting match. It was pretty physical. I was really impressed with Risk's movement. I had seen her play before and wasn't too impressed, but I think mentally and defense-wise, she really showed up in this tournament, and I think she definitely has more than I thought she had in terms of being an all-around a player. Really, really impressed with her mental game, though. She was just all business, and she really handled the moment very well. At the end, Sabalenka was, again, a little bit too consistent for Risk, and she takes down the first title of the year. Really, really impressive result for Sabalenka, who now moves up to world number 11. So moving on to Brisbane. This tournament was worth 470 points to the winner, $188,000. One of the interesting stories from this tournament was Dana Vekic from Croatia. Came into this tournament ranked 34. This is a woman who looked pretty good a few years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and it just seemed like she had this trajectory, like where she was maybe gonna crack the top 20 pretty quickly, and then just kind of faltered. And I think her ranking has been way below where it is now, 34. Just never had any real results. But this is a really good tournament for her. She beats Rybakova, world 48, in the first round. She then knocks off the sixth seed, world number 9, Kiki Bertens, who had an amazing year last year. She beats her in the second round, 7-6, 1-6, 7-5. Big, big mental win for Vekic. Then she faces Sasnovich, world 30. So this is 34 against 30. Vekic wins again. This time, just destruction, 6-2, 6-0. Sasnovich had taken care of the number one seed, Alina Svitolina from Ukraine. So Sasnovich obviously was informed. Vekic took care of her and makes it to the semifinals, which I'll get to in a second. Another qualifier wins a first round match. Buzkova, Marie Buzkova from Czech Republic, takes out the wily veteran from Australia, Samantha Stosur, facing the five seed Karolina Pliskova in the second round. Pliskova takes care of business. Pliskova beats Kyrgios' girlfriend, Tomjanovic, in the third round and advances to the semis as well. Interestingly, first round match between world number 6 and world number 37. So Sloane Stephens as world 6 and Joanna Konta as world 37. Konta beat Sloane. So that was a pretty big upset. And then Tomjanovic beat Joanna Konta. So those are two pretty interesting upsets. That's a 46 beating a 37, Tomjanovic over Konta. All right, so that takes care of the top half. It's Vekic versus Pliskova. In the bottom half, the 7 seed, world number 10, Daria Kasatkina from Russia, falls to Australian wild card Kimberly Burrell. Burrell is ranked 283 in the world. So this was numerically the biggest upset of the past week. Maybe it will stand at the end of the year as one of the biggest upsets of the year. So this is world 283 beating world 10. Again, Kimberly Burrell from Australia. She falls in the second round to Lisia Sorenko from Ukraine. Sorenko goes on to destroy everybody. So Sorenko beats Burrell. Then she beats number 21, Kontaveit from Estonia. Kontaveit had just taken care of Petra Kvitova, world number 7. So Kontaveit's got to be playing well. Sorenko beats her, makes it to the semifinal, which I'll get to in a second. Then we've got Anastasia Sevastova from Latvia, world number 11. She wins her first round match versus one of my favorite players, Daria Gavrilova from Australia. If you haven't seen Gavrilova play, get it done. She is slight. She's, I don't know, maybe 5'5 and probably about 140 pounds. That might be, it might be more like 125 or something. Anyway, she's not a big body. She hammers the ball. She's got amazing wheels and she's mentally super tough. She plays a lot of 3-set matches and she is, She's just really, really exciting. She's small, she's powerful, and she's got big, big mental game. So that's Daria Gavrilova. She loses to Sevastova, who also is, I mean, you could say basically those same things about Sevastova. Sevastova is super powerful, very consistent player. Sevastova ends up playing Harriet Dart from Great Britain, a qualifier, another qualifier who wins a first-round match in the main draw. So this is World 149. Sevastova takes care of business 6-2-6-0. And then lastly, we've got Kristina Mladenovic from France getting beaten by World 247. So Mladenovic is 43 in the world. She gets beat by World 247. Destany Ayava. I hope I got that right. A-I-A-V-A. Destany. It's probably Destany. Destany Ayava from Australia, who takes on Naomi Osaka, who got a bye. Osaka's 5th in the world. She beats World 247. And then she faces off against Anastasia Sevastova. And this I got to see all of. And it was really, really, really interesting. So Sevastova wins the first set 6-3. And on set, after set point, so after she takes down the first set, Osaka, the extremely mild-mannered Osaka, throws her racket in frustration. So there's the setup for you. You've got world number five on the ropes, the defending U.S. Open champion, who for all the world looks like she's going to continue to advance in the rankings. And it looks like she's going to be really, there's really no weakness to Osaka's game. So you've got the first set, 6-3, and Osaka is so frustrated that she throws her racket. Your mindset at this point has to be, you have to be doing jumping jacks. Like, you've got to be so excited about what's in front of you here. This is to get into the semifinal of a pretty big point tournament. And Sevastova, A, calls her coach down, which, okay, that's fine. Like, you want to just talk shop, maybe better than not having a quick chat with your coach. But Sevastova's body language during this changeover when she's getting coached is just mystifying. She said something like, well, but she's playing so well, referring to Osaka. She's like, well, but you just won the first set, 6-3. And her whole vibe throughout the whole changeover was just worried. She was just like worried. She was shaking her head. If you had not seen any of the first set and you saw their respective demeanors in between the first and second set, you would bet the farm that Sevastova had lost that first set. It was really, really bizarre. So in the first game of the second set, Sevastova's serving. She double faults on double break point. So Osaka then holds easily in the second game. So now she's up 2-0, Osaka is, and she's full of fist pumps and let's do this, like her normal, like extremely positive body language and temperament. And Sevastova looks like she's already lost the match. It was so bizarre. You win the first set, and then you turn into this negative Nancy, and then the wheels just totally fall off. Sevastova is serving at 0-2, 30-40 in the second set, double faults again. Then she's serving at 0-4 and gets broken at love. Then Osaka is serving at 5-0, holds at love. So then they go into the third set, and it's pretty perfunctory. Osaka wins 6-4. Osaka, one thing I noticed from her in this match is that she's really good at turning the ball over, which is another thing that one of the biggest strengths of Kei Nishikori is you receive a sliced ball, and then you hit topspin on that. It's a really hard thing to do. It's really easy to hit that ball long, and Kei is, for my money, the best in the business at that, especially when he goes inside in on the forehand. If you hit him a slice to his forehand and for some reason he's in the ad court, he can just crush that ball down the line inside in. It doesn't matter really where on the court he is or even which wing he's using. He's really good at changing a backspin into a topspin. So is Osaka. I'm not saying she's Kei's level in terms of doing that, but she's really, really good. Sevastova had three backhand slices in a row to Naomi's backhand. Naomi, with her backhand, comes over it, and on the third one, she hits a clean winner. So this is another tool that I noticed in Naomi's game, and it's another thing that's going to make her really hard to beat. I've been saying for a while that the women who are going to be really successful on tour are those who have an effective slice. Because all of these, you know, 90% of the women on tour are basically cut from the same cloth. It's like this cookie cutter, like I'm going to crush both wings topspin with not that much spin, but you know, I'm going to hit a flat hard ball and try to move you around the court. And there's no real plan B for a lot of these players. When it's windy or their forehand is a little bit off and they're tanking into the net or hitting it long, they really don't have anything they can go to. Having a backhand slice like Sevastova a pretty good one at that, allows you to take the rhythm away from the opponent that just likes to hammer balls all day. So the next step in this sort of back and forth is, can you deal with the back, or can you deal with a slice? And Osaka has proven that not only can she deal with it, but she can almost use it as a weapon. So look out for that. The next time you see Osaka, look for people feeding her slices and see what she does with them. So semifinals, Pliskova beats Vekic. It's still a great result for Vekic in this tournament. And then Osaka goes down to Licia Cerenko. And you'd think, well, Osaka only made it to the semifinals. You know, maybe she's off to a bad start. She gains one spot in the ranking. She moves up to world number four. So this also speaks to the rest of the year for Osaka. I don't think she really has that many points to defend, other than Indian Wells. Obviously, that's a ton of points, and obviously the U.S. Open. But the other tournaments, I don't think that she really did that well in. So I think there's even some room for her to gain more ground in terms of ranking points. So the final is Licia Cerenko, World 27, against Karolina Pliskova. Again, the underdog wins the first set 4-6 or 6-4, and then Pliskova is just too tough. She looked really, really good in this tournament. The serve is working. She's really consistent from the baseline. And the one mistake that Cerenko just kept making over and over, which was kind of frustrating to watch, is basically if you're playing a Czech player, a tall Czech player, don't leave a standing forehand for them to hit. Don't let them just stand there as the ball is coming at them and to their forehand side, because Karolina Pliskova and Petra Kvitova will destroy that ball every single time. It's 100%. And this is one of the mistakes that Cerenko just kept going to. Yeah, Pliskova made a few forehand errors, but overall, when she didn't really have to move to that forehand, it was lights out. Pliskova looks in form. I think she is, again, I think she had a little sophomore slump last year. And I think she's in a really good position to run deep in the majors this year. Look for that. So that's it. Interesting first week on the women's side. Australian Open qualifiers are happening right now, which is like, God, it's one of my favorite times of the year. It's on. The Australian Open is happening. So I'll be talking a lot more about that. Please, if you have any comments, questions, concerns, feedback, whatever, get at me. I'd love to know where you guys are listening from. Even if you just want to send me a quick tweet, it's Tennis Heads with a Z, H-E-A-D-Z. And email is tennisheads@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you guys. Thanks for tuning in so much. See you guys next time.